Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christianity is a movement that has covered the face of the earth. When it first started in Jerusalem, and then it spread to the borders of Judea, where only Jews were born again in Christ. And then God sent it forth to the Samaritans, who were half Jews, half Gentiles. And then finally, God sent the gospel to the rest of the world. And 2,000 years later, the gospel has covered the face of this planet. All the continents of the world have been given the gospel. And now, with modern technology, the gospel has been preached far and wide. Then how could such a vast, powerful, world-dominating faith called Christianity, how could it ever fall away? The word fall away means to become apostate. To become apostate means to be forsaken. Christianity is made up of basically two parts. First, the Bible called it the milk doctrines. And once you become a Christian, you do not remain as a babe in Christ. That's how the Bible describes it, where you only drink milk. You start to grow. And the more you grow, you will begin to delight in the rest of the Bible, which the Bible calls the meat doctrine. And so you will be mature, and you will continue to become a good, mature, holy witness for Christ. When the Bible speaks of Christianity becoming apostate, forsaken, or fall away, it will be at the very beginning. That means we have to look at the gospel. Because when the gospel is under attack, and when people believe in a gospel that has been perverted, that is not the gospel according to the scriptures. What happens is, people will believe in the Christ that has been distorted and not taught accurately according to the Bible. And that belief will be in vain. He may believe in the name Jesus Christ, but he is not actually born again, because the Jesus Christ that has been presented to him is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Now, we are not talking about one case. We are talking about millions of people all over the world. And when the gospel that is preached all over the world is not according to scriptures, and people sincerely, truly believe in a gospel that has been tainted, that is corrupted, where some parts of it has been missing, omitted deliberately, or other parts have been added on to the gospel message. When that happens, you'll find that the face of Christianity will begin to be forsaken. Because more and more of these people who think they are born again believers in Christ Jesus will present to the world the face of Christianity that is false, because they themselves are not truly born again in Christ. They themselves are false believers, and they will present to the world the face of false Christianity. And that is exactly what happens when the Bible speaks of the falling away. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Why is this so significant to us as believers? Because God wants us to make sure of our lives. God wants us to take stock of our lives, because we are living in very dangerous, perilous times. If the majority of the world is going to believe in a false Christ because they have been presented with the false gospel, unlike the first century when Christianity was born, the gospel that was presented to the people in the first century was pure. It was unadulterated. It did not have all the many denominations. But it was very, very costly. The gospel presented to the believer or to the sinners in the time of the first century, it was pure, it was good, it was Bible-based. But anyone who wants to accept Christ as Lord and as Savior in the first century Literally, they have to count the cost. Because the persecution was very intense. And the moment you say, I am a Christian, you will have friends and family members betraying you, reporting you to the leaders that oversaw the relationship, the behavior and conduct of the Jews. If you are a Jewish sinner and you are given the gospel, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? And you tell them that you are a sinner. If you die in your sin, you end up in hell. You can only find salvation, deliverance from the bondage of sin in your life, and you know you're a sinner, is to believe in this Jesus Christ whom you have crucified. Because some of them were still alive who shouted at the trial of Christ, crucify him, crucify him. And then he was crucified. And then now, after Christ had died and rose again from the dead, the gospel is now given to them. And these people, their transgression is not just transgression against you and me, against God. It is also against Christ. They shouted, crucify Christ. And then now you tell them the gospel, that this Jesus Christ that you demanded his crucifixion is none other than the Son of God who came down to become a man to die just for you. And then you shouted to crucify him. And they will wonder, will this same Jesus Christ whom I demanded his crucifixion, will he save me? And you will tell him, yes, he will save you. But they also realize the moment you are a Jew and you are saved, the Sanhedrin Council, which is the police, they are going to get you. First, they're going to take you from your family, remove you from your job, take away your land, take away your property. Your family will starve. They are going to suffer because you want to accept Christ. And then they're going to try to put you into prison and catch you and put you to death. That was the consideration before a sinner say in his heart, yes, I still want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior. Because the bondage of sin is too heavy, it's too grievous. And I would rather face the wrath of man than the wrath of God, because if I die in my sin, I will face the wrath of God and he will sentence me to hell. And whatever I have to endure on this earth, it's worth it. And many, thank God, in the thousands still wanted to accept Christ. And they were persecuted, as you can see from the book of Acts. This is the gospel that will be forsaken, rejected. It has been under attack. And today, 2,000 years later, you look at the face of Christianity presented to us. And that is why tonight you have to make sure of your salvation, that the Jesus Christ that you have embraced and truly, sincerely, with all your heart have accepted as your Lord and as your Savior is the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Because the worst thing that could ever happen to a sinner is to think that he is saved, is to think that he is going to heaven. Because when a person thinks he's going to heaven, he will not need to accept Christ again. Because he is already thinking in his own heart with all his sincerity, I'm going to heaven when I die. And he will find out the moment he stopped breathing his last breath and he finds himself in hell, it's over. No man can get out of hell. There is a chasm that is unbridgeable. And that's why it is a very, very dangerous and a very frightening thing to realize that we are living in that period where the face of Christianity has already fallen away. It may be written to us, except there come a falling away first in the future. But this was written 2,000 years ago. And we are living in that period of time where Christianity has fallen away, past tense. Because all you and I need to do is to evaluate. Look at what Christianity is like today. If you know enough scriptures, if you know enough of Christianity, church history, you realize that in the 21st century, what is the face of Christianity? When the person in the street is asked to describe, can you describe for me what you think is Christianity? In Singapore, can guarantee you, that they're going to describe the face of the charismatic version of Christianity. Because of what is happening in the newspaper about this man called Kong Hee. He is one of the mega church pastors. He is now in prison because of criminal breach of trust. He abused the funds in the millions within the church in the name of preaching the gospel, the crossover project, according to him. And so if you ask anyone in Singapore, what is the face of Christianity? The mega churches will be the description they're going to present. And what is the gospel, the milk doctrine, the first gospel that can save a sinner and turn him into a saint as presented by the charismatics? I've listened to more than 200 to 300 messages combined together of Joseph Prince, Kong Hee, Ronnie Tan of Lighthouse Evangelism, and a few others like Lawrence Kong of Faith Community Baptist Church. 200 to 300 of their messages. To make sure that when we speak about their gospel, it is not based upon hearsay, but based upon what they say from the horse's mouth, as it were. And what is their gospel? The gospel is simply this. You believe in Jesus Christ who died for your sin, you will be healthy and wealthy on this earth. That is their gospel. And so people are motivated by this carnality of health and wealth on this earth. And so therefore they will believe in this Jesus Christ that has been presented to them. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and your disease and your sickness will go away. And God will line your bank account and your pocket with tons and tons of money. And testimonies of the testimonies will be presented to the thousands to convince them by the cause and effect. So-and-so was like this, and now look at so-and-so. So-and-so used to live like this, but now look at so-and-so. Look at his big house, look at his life, look at his car. And so in the thousands, they will queue up to attend such churches. But they are carnal. Is that the gospel of the Bible? Jesus Christ says, I die on the cross for your sin. I came down from heaven to live and to die for you, not to make you healthy and wealthy. I don't need to come and die a most painful and humiliating death to make you healthy and wealthy on this earth. God will say to you, my own power is enough to do that. Did God not demonstrate that power when Jesus Christ was on earth? Every sick people brought to him, he healed instantaneously. Blind people, born blind, born lame, were given brand new sight and brand new strength to walk and to run instantaneously. Jesus Christ did not have to come down and to experience so much pain and hatred from sinful men. And to be humiliated, to be scourged, to have a crown of thorns forced down his head, to suffer so much pain in the hands of sinful men, just to make you healthy and wealthy. That is foolishness. That is blasphemy. And if you are believing that gospel because you want to be healthy and wealthy to believe in Christ, then you will have believed in the false gospel, the gospel that has been forsaken, fallen away, replaced by a carnal gospel that will not save you. You are still in sin. And if you were to die right here and now, having believed in the gospel, you will find yourself in hell. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to die for your sin, period. To save you from sin, period. To save you from the penalty of sin, the bondage of sin, which is death and hell, period. That's it. And that's the only reason you cry to God for salvation through Christ. Because if you and I were to die in our sin, we end up in hell. It's not a threat. It is a certainty. It is a warning. God does not want to see you die in sin and end up in hell, because God loves you, even though there is nothing lovely in any one of us for God to love. But he loves us anyway. And he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to be your penalty. Because of your sin, he was persecuted. Because of your sin, my sin, our sin, the sins of the world, he was crucified and he died. He took the penalty, the pain, the punishment, and the experience of death because of your sins and my sins. And all you need to do is to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, period. With no hidden agenda, not for health and wealth, purely because Jesus Christ died for your sin. That's it. Believe with all your heart. This is God's love that is offered to you tonight in Christ. Not the gospel of the charismatics, which is the face of Christianity in Singapore. You go to some other countries where Roman Catholicism dominates, and you go to that country and you ask the people in the street, describe for me the face of Christianity, and they will describe for you the face of Roman Catholicism. And what is their version of the gospel? Their version of the gospel is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sin. He rose from the dead for your justification. He was born of the Virgin Mary. That's why he was born perfect. He lived a perfect life and he died and he rose from the dead 3 days later. Sounds good. But then they have this additional clause. It is not enough. You must now also add on to what Christ has done with all the traditions. You must come to the Roman Catholic Church or else you will lose your salvation. You must take of the Eucharist, their Holy Communion. You must have water baptism. If you do not do any of these things, you will lose your salvation. So what is their gospel? Their gospel is Jesus Christ did everything on the cross, but it is not enough. It is not finished. It is incomplete. You must add on by all these so-called works in order to complete the work of Christ to save you. Is that what the Bible says? That's not what the Bible says. Because as Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he said 7 things. And out of the 7 things that he said, the last and final thing he uttered before he died, it is finished. What was finished? The mission, the work of saving sinners, as God the Father has sent him down to earth to do, it is done. It is completed. How do we know that God accepted what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross for your sin? Was enough, was accepted by God, because God raised him from the dead on the 3rd day after he died. And that is God's stamp of approval to the whole world, that what Jesus Christ, my only begotten Son, did on this earth is enough to satisfy God's justice in your life. That no matter how many sins you may have committed, no matter how heinous your sins are, the blood of my only begotten Son is enough to wash them all away. And I have declared to all of you in this earth that it is enough because I raised him from the dead for your justification. All you need is to confess your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that he died for you and rose from the dead for you with all your heart in all sincerity. God will save you to the uttermost. He promised. If only you would come. If only you would come. The face of Christianity today is the forsaken face of Christianity. This is our world. And this is only 2 aspects. Because underneath it, you have the One World Church, born in 1948. The World Council of Churches. It's already here. It has already control practically every major city of the world because they have a branch called the National Council of Churches located in almost all the major cities of the world, and there's one in Singapore too. And on top of that, you have the face of new evangelicalism where it is the face of Christianity where they are all man pleasers. These are the ones who believe in evolution. These are the ones who believe the Bible has mistakes. At the same time, they call themselves Christians. And these are the evidence of a Christianity that has fallen away. Why did God reveal this to us? Look at verse 1 and verse 2 of 2 Thessalonians 2. And you will understand the reason why God had to reveal this sign to us. It's for our own good. Because apparently, some false teachers have crept into the church in Thessalonica. And what did they do? Paul wrote, the Bible says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together with him." What does this mean? by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together with him is a reference to what Paul wrote earlier in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What did Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Well, you look at verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that means those who have died in Christ, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, that means those who have died in Christ, will God bring with him. That means we know that they who have died in Christ are with God in heaven, because you can't bring with you someone who is not already with you. So those who have died in Christ, we know they are in heaven with God in spirit. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, now God cannot lie, it is not by the word of the church, it is not by the word of any man or any organization, it is by the powerful, inerrant, infallible, perfect word of God Almighty, the God who cannot lie, that we which are alive and remain, that means we are alive in this mortal body and remain on this earth, up to the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent, that means shall not have any advantage over them which are asleep, those who have died in Christ. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so the coming of the Lord and our gathering together with the Lord refers to the first resurrection, the rapture. That's how the Bible describes it, where all those who have died in Christ, who are now in spirit in heaven, there will come a day which is known as the coming of our Lord, where the Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven, and then he will remain halfway between earth and heaven. And then there will be those who have died in Christ, they will be resurrected from the dead, and they will be given a glorified, eternal, spiritual, glorious body. And all the believers who are still alive in this mortal body, who have not yet died in Christ, and they also will suddenly disappear from the face of the earth, and they will be caught up. The Latin word is called the word rapture, and what it means is suddenly they are here on earth, and suddenly they will just simply disappear from the face of the earth. Their clothes will be left behind, and they will be caught up and given the glorified body together with all those who have died in Christ, and will meet the Lord in the air, and the Lord Jesus Christ will carry and accompany all of us into heaven to see God the Father in the glorified body, presenting us to him. The first batch of all who have died in Christ and who are alive, they will be caught up, and this was the amazing, wonderful, hopeful doctrine that the Apostle Paul taught the Christians in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians, that epistle. But some false teachers have crept into the church, and they have confused this doctrine. You look at verse 2. All right, concerning this doctrine of our gathering together, which he wrote about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which we read about, the first resurrection, the rapture. That ye be not soon shaken in mind. That means some people have confused them, make them very frightened and afraid. What did they do? What did they say? Paul assured them, do not be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by the word, nor by any epistle, as if it has come from us. It did not come from us, because these people have been taught and told that the day of Christ, that is the coming of the Lord, the gathering together, is at hand. Now the phrase at hand means present. It has already happened. It's ready now. But these people are still in church. These people are still in the church in Thessalonica. They are not raptured. False teachers have crept in and said that it is ready now. It is happening now. In other words, you are left behind. You have missed the boat, which means you are not born again. And that's why they were shaken in the mind. They were confused. False teachers have crept into the church, took the doctrine that Paul gave to them, which is supposed to be a very hopeful doctrine, a very reassuring doctrine, that if we were to die in Christ, we will be in heaven, And one day Christ will come, and we who are alive as Christians, we will also be caught up and given the glorified body, which is our hope till today. And there were false teachers 2,000 years ago in the church in Thessalonica and said to them, you guys have missed the boat. It is already at hand. It has happened. And you're still here. And so they were troubled. They were shaken in the mind. That means, did God break his word? I know I'm a Christian. You mean Jesus Christ lied to us? He did not take us up. We are still here. And that's why Paul had to write this epistle to stop the lies of the false teachers. And that's why he says concerning the coming of the Lord and our gathering together, do not be shaken in mind, because there are certain signs that must take place first before that could ever happen. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now remember, this was written 2,000 years ago, where Christianity has not covered the face of the earth. Two messages ago at the sunset, remember we talk about the gospel being preached to the whole world. One of our verses for memorization in Matthew chapter 24. That has already taken place. The gospel has already covered the face of the earth many times over through the internet, through the radio waves, and through the television. We know that. And that sign is already passed. Not 2,000 years ago, when Christianity was still located only in the promised land in Israel, and maybe in present-day Turkey and some parts of Europe. And that's it. It has never reached to Africa, Australia, Southeast Asia, and all the Far East, in China. All these places have never been touched with the gospel 2,000 years ago. But today, you have many Christians in the underground churches in China. You have many Christians also in the underground churches in Russia. Covered. This sign, Christianity falling away, that means the false face of Christianity will cover the face of the earth. Is it not happening today? You look at the charismatic. They are the mega churches that are numbered in the thousands, and their gospel is not of the scriptures. So true also of the Roman Catholics. 1 billion+ members covering the face of the earth. Again, not the gospel according to scriptures. Christianity falling away is already here. When you read this, do not read this as if it is in the future. It is already here. The falling away first has already taken place. And what do you think will be the next step? The resurrection, the rapture. That means there will come a time where we will all come to church on one Lord's Day for the last time. You will attend the Bible study for the last time. You will attend prayer meeting for the last time. You will wake up for the last time. You will do everything you do on this earth for the last time. We are not talking about death. We are talking about the rapture. And everyone who is truly born again in Christ, wherever you are in any part of the world, you will be taken up. Because the signs are already fulfilled before our very eyes. And there will be one additional sign that the second part of verse 3 warns us of. And that men of sin be revealed. That means the moment we are taken up, the man of sin, which is also known as the Antichrist, he is called the man of sin because he is a man that is characterized by sin, full of sin, the sinner of all sinners. That will be the Antichrist. And what will he be also called? The son of perdition. The word perdition literally means the son of destruction. You follow him, you listen to his words, it will destroy you. That's the meaning of the word son of perdition. He is known as the Antichrist. And he will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God. He will make himself as if he is God. And that is worship. He will get people to worship him, bow down to him. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Another key element of the false face of Christianity today is man-centeredness. You look at the website of all these mega churches. You have Kong Hee Ministry. Kong Hee is the focus of City Harvest. New Creation, Prince Ministry. Joseph Prince is the focus. The followers are very loyal to the point of blind loyalty to these individuals. They see them as someone who can do no wrong. They are so loyal and beholden to him that no matter what they do on this earth, they are prepared to continue to follow them. And whatever they say, they will receive it as if it is the word of God. It is very much man-centered. And this man of sin, son of perdition, he is going to point people to himself and make himself as if he is God. This is another element of the false face of Christianity. When you go to a church, when people point you to themselves, to the pastor, and not to Christ, you beware. You be warned. That is an element of the end time, one world church of the son of perdition, the Antichrist. No man can save you except the God-man, Christ Jesus. Your loyalty is always to Christ. And if that is not in your heart, you'll be very, very careful that the gospel you believe in is most likely the fallen, forsaken gospel, because it does not point you to Christ. Because if it points you to Christ, it means your life will be lived according to the Bible. Not the word of any man, but the word of God. The word of God itself. But the Bible will be a book that you read daily and love it and obey it. That's how you follow Christ. You follow the Bible. But not the fallen Christianity. They will follow a man, and he will exalt himself above all that is called God, and he will demand worship so that he as God will sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. The Bible describes him in another manner in Revelation chapter 13. He is known as the beast here. Revelation 13 verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, that is, of the earth, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, very, very fierce. His feet were as the feet of a bear, very powerful, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, ferocious. And the dragon, that is the devil, will give him power, and his seat, and his great authority, and he will rule the world. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And so he will deceive the world as if he rose from the dead. He is known as the Antichrist, not by chance. He is going to imitate Christ. Christ literally died, actually died, and rose from the dead. He will have a fake death. And then the world will be deceived because the world will be told that he died. And now look at him, he rose from the dead. And all the world wondered after the beast. They're going to look at him and they're going to bow down to him. Now you know how, what God said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the world will bow down to him and worship him as God. He is going to pretend that he rose from the dead. Power over death. That's what he will do in the future. Verse 4, and they worshipped the dragon, the devil who gave him the power, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast also, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now these are rhetorical questions that are reserved only for God. And now he will use them to describe himself. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue for 3.5 years, 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. You see the similarity of what God gave to the Apostle John and what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You want to know how he will succeed in getting the world to bow down and worship him as God? Revelation 13 explains how he will do it. He will pretend to die and rise from the dead. Miracles will be done by the false prophet, that the huge statue made in his honor will begin to speak. For the first time, an idol can speak words, and the whole world will be blinded, and they are going to look at him and equate him as God, and they're going to bow down to him. That is the face of false Christianity, where man-centeredness will be the norm. And you see that in the Roman Catholic Church, the man-centeredness is known as the Pope. You look at the charismatic churches, the man-centeredness will be their founding pastor, the man. It's already here, dear friends. Christianity has fallen away. You make sure that the gospel you have embraced and believe in with all your heart, in all sincerity, is truly the gospel of the Bible according to scriptures. What is the gospel that is according to scriptures that you must believe in? That Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for your sin. Because of your sin and my sin, and we all know we are sinners. Very, very depraved sinners. We sin with our heart. We are selfish and self-centered, arrogant and prideful. We sin with our mind, all the evil thoughts and all the covetousness within our mind. And then our mouth, our words, the lies and the deception and the words of anger that continue to flow out of our lips. And then the hands and the feet, the hands that will do all the evil deeds, the feet that will bring us to places that are wicked and sinful and evil. We are soaked and covered in sin. And in this state and condition, when we die in our sin, we have sinned against God and not just man. What can we give to man, to God, to make restitution for our transgressions in our whole life? We are born in sin and we committed many, many willful sins. That's why the punishment from God, if we were to die in our sin, and we know God never over-punishes anyone, neither will he under-punish anyone. And every punishment that God gives to man is always just and fair, because he is a holy, righteous, and just God. And he says that if you die in your sin, you want to know how heinous sin is to God, your sins and my sin, you spend eternity in the lake of fire, in hell, and then ultimately the lake of fire. That's how heinous sin is to God, your sins and mine. That you have to be punished in great pain and torment for eternity. No relief forever and ever and ever. And there is no escape. You don't die and disappear into nothingness. You die in your sin right now and you face your Creator. And because God is holy and just, and you die in sin, you will have to be sent to hell and ultimately the lake of fire, a place of great pain and torment. And the only way you can be spared and be delivered is to find someone who has died in your place that God would accept. God could not find anyone on earth because all of us are born in sin. And so God said, the only way to save sinners, to save all sinners on earth, is to send my only begotten Son from heaven to come down and to die for them. And we thank God that Jesus Christ did. He came down from heaven's glory to become one of us, born of the Virgin Mary, so that he will be born perfect without sin. We are all born in sin. Jesus Christ was born perfect without sin. And he lived a life of perfection all the way right up to the time he was betrayed, persecuted, humiliated, crucified, and then he died. That is the only way to save sinner. And God accepted what Christ did for you by raising him from the dead to let all of us know that what he has done is enough to take away all your sins. All you need to do is to believe. You cannot work for it. You cannot use money to buy it. It's offered free. That's God's grace and God's mercy. All you need is to humble yourself and believe with all your heart, confessing that I am a sinner, O God. I know that I deserve to die in my sin and end up in hell. But I repent of my sin and I beg for mercy. And I want with all my heart, in all sincerity, to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, my Lord and my Savior with all my heart. Save me through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. God will save you. That is his promise. Do not reject and spurn the love of God. receive his love through Christ Jesus. If you have an ear to hear, God says, let him hear. Do you have an ear to hear? Have you heard the voice of God in your heart tonight? Come and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God's love offered to you by God himself. These are not my words. These are the word of God himself speaking to you. It may be my tone, my voice, but the words are from God. It is God who is speaking to you right now in your heart. Will you truly accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior? Whatever gospel you have been believing in, you can put it aside and you can receive the gospel tonight that is according to scriptures, and you will be saved to the uttermost. That's God's promise. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth and believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary for your sin and rose from the dead for your justification, you will not be ashamed. You will not be cast aside. You will be saved to the uttermost. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may thy Holy Spirit take the word of everlasting life to bring conviction and conversion to all our hearts, so that none of us may depart from this sanctuary still remaining in the bondage of sin. That what awaits such an individual is the penalty of sin, which is death and hell itself. May thou be merciful, O Lord. May thy Holy Spirit bring conviction and truly conversion, that we may not spurn thy love for us in Christ Jesus, that we may humble ourselves, strip of all our pride and arrogance, and to know that we are bankrupt in our soul because we are born in sin and we truly have committed so many sin against thee. Be merciful, O Lord, to save us for Jesus' sake, that we may truly confess our sin and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior with all our heart. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.